it does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to The Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I am one of your hosts, David Schultz, and over here by my side is my good buddy and partner in crime, Nate Gorzinski. Nate, how are you?
Ah, man, I'm hot and sticky. It's hot as balls up here in New England, Dave.
Oh, I don't want to hear any of that. No.
Listen to this. I know, I'm sure you're in Texas. I'm sure it's awful, but just quickly, man, as we're recording this, it's 2 weeks into July, and the whole month so far has been rain. It's barely any sun poking through this summer. It's been miserable. But finally, we get some heat, and it's like 9,500 degrees up here. So it's wet, sticky, and that's how I'm doing. How are you doing, Dave?
That's how I like it. I like it wet and sticky.
Yeah, man.
Me, I've finished my vacationing. Now I'm refreshed.
That's right.
And rejuvenated. And lost more faith in humanity, as if I didn't have enough already over the last, whatever, 18 months, just completely said, fuck it, fucking
out.
Two-legged meat bags, pieces of crap. No, I mean, I went down to the ocean, and I don't know, like, it's one of those things where even though you've been vaccinated, I still wear a mask so people don't think I'm like some kind of fucking Republican or something, and then right. You just see people running around all willy-nilly. And I read stuff about variants, and it's just one of those things where I'm like, people, man, I think we're a little too eager beaver to just totally ditch any kind of precautions whatsoever.
Yeah.
But other than that, my vacation was a success because any sign of a good vacation is when you come home broke and a little bit beaten up. Mm. And that was me, baby. That was me.
Sounds like heaven.
Oh, yeah, my own little slice of heaven. There was a lot of hillbillies in Galveston, Texas, too. So at the hotel I was staying at, there were some people in another room who had an SUV. And I see that the back of it, and it's like America, love it or leave it, and eagles and all kinds of like there's even the fuzzy dice are the Southern flag.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, what is going on with these people? Everything says rebel and whatever.
Confederate like, this and that.
Confederate motherfuckers. And I'm like, oh, boy, here I am in I don't know, redneck heaven. You know, this is going to suck. But the funny thing was, I said to my wife, I'm like, you know, all this stuff, regalia on the automobile, and it's a fucking Hyundai.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, America first. Yeah. And he's fucking driving Japanese. So I call it the hillbilly Hyundai.
Right.
So, But well, you should have seen the people driving this fucking thing. They were like straight out of like whatever in your mind's eye would see for people who would own a vehicle like this. They were that.
Yeah, man. No, I picture it. It seems like I hate to say it because our nation, you know, we should be proud of our nation. We should symbols and whatever, they mean a little too much to some people, but it's gotten to the point where if I see a bunch of American flags or like overtly, not so much American flags, but definitely the Confederate flags, like I automatically am like, oh man, like I don't want to have to interact with these people. And like, I don't know. I guess that's not true of American flags in general. I shouldn't say that, but it just seems like, for example, if you see a car driving or a pickup truck rather with a giant American flag, like flying off it, like just, you know, that dude's a douchebag. I'm sorry. You know, like,
well,
I can't
I'll
help
take it.
It
one further. Nate, if there's even a little American sticker on there, I think douchebag.
All right. So I'm not alone.
We're in America. We get it. It's like wearing the fucking the band's T-shirt to their show. We get it. You like Rush. You're at a Rush show. You don't need to wear the fucking Rush T-shirt. We understand you like Rush. You are here.
That's
here.
A great point, man. Wow, I never thought of that, you know, correlation, the band T-shirt at the show. That's exactly what it is. You're too much of a fan. Like a friend of mine pointed out a while ago, like before Biden became president, he was like, watch when Biden gets elected, watch me never wear a Biden hat or shirt. Like, it's not normal to be that supportive where, you know, that's where it turns into the actual cult thing they talk about.
Fanaticism.
You know? Right. It's just a little too overzealous, you know, but. Yep.
Too but much for of, me, man.
Dude, speaking of that stuff, like, I don't, you know, I hate getting sucked down that whole discussion of QAnon and right versus left. It does get, it gets old to me, just, I don't know, but I will say that cult-like attitude, it's going to be really hard to break, man, because it's like we're dealing with people who they're thinking they're seeing secret movements in like hand gestures or like the way Trump says a sentence. They pick it apart and say, oh, it's a code. Like the first letters of this and this are this and they equal Q and like things like that. You know, that's what the whole QAnon movement is based on. And I was thinking, like, it's going to be really hard to reason people out of that because these are also the same people that are evangelical Christians usually. And these people look at all the random shit that happens in their life and they see signs of God in it. They see like
miracle.
Yeah. God's communicating with me. He wants me to do this because a bird flew by or some shit, you know, like it's going to be really hard because that shit's so ingrained in people. It's going to be hard to talk them out of that is my point. So we got our work cut out for us.
Yeah, good luck with all that. Oh, my God. It was bad enough. I was thinking, I just started this whole conversation about vacationing with probably a bunch of QAnon fucking weirdos.
Right.
Now you're like, oh, how do we get rid of them? The answer is we don't. We're just fucked. We're
completely you're in the thick
and utterly
of it.
Fucked.
Yeah. You're down south. You're in Abbott territory. You're in Ted Cruz Central down there, man. I don't envy you that, but.
Yeah, gag me with a spoon.
I don't know. I'm surprised you were talking about. You were talking about running into that person with the Hyundai like it was like weird. And I thought you living down there, that's basically you were the odd man out and the rest of them were all that. Like,
No, it's just the proximity of everything. The guy was in like the room next to mine.
Right.
I'm like,
right.
I really don't want to fucking bump into this guy when I have to go to the ice machine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or his wife, who is completely unavoidable because she could have been in fucking Free Willy 3.
Oh,
the
man.
Fucking like, dude, she was like, that's what I mean. They hadn't seen a dentist in forever.
Yeah.
And they've never passed on the chance to have a freaking ho-ho or a ding-dong.
It's like she was so big that everyone in the hotel was near her. Like,
yes, exactly.
Her.
And I have no issue with people being pleasantly plump.
Sure. No.
You know, I am myself, and I happen to like the ladies to have a little extra meat on the bone.
Right. And I have fat friends, so I can say this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that too. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, she was fucking, I think she was just fucking pure sugar coursing through her veins, you know?
Maple syrup.
So Nate, you know, we talked about the QAnon, the Q people, you know, just to kind of go back to that real quick. If you haven't seen the documentary on HBO about that.
Yeah. Into the Storm.
It's really good. It's really good. And it just justifies the fact that everybody who likes it is crazy, but I'm not immune to being susceptible to things that I see online and influenced by various things. And recently, now you know I'm a big fan of Kids in the Hall. You are. Sure. Many people out there are. They have a revival coming on Amazon Prime, hopefully sooner than later. Yes. But I happen to follow Dave Foley on Twitter.
Great.
Now, if you don't follow him, you're probably not aware of the fact that he is an advocate for, how should I put this? Like UFO awareness. Okay.
Oh boy. Okay.
He's a believer. He is a believer that there's alien life forms and they have visited the Earth and that the governments of the world have covered up their existence for years and years. And I'm not really a big conspiracy theorist. I don't really sit lying awake at night thinking about aliens. I just don't.
Sure.
It's like one of those things that scientifically cannot really be denied that they probably exist, right?
Right. Statistically, it seems impossible that they don't, you know, like that there's not something out there.
Right. Exactly. There has to. I mean, everybody says, oh, well, the Earth, the conditions were just right. Well, what's to say? I mean, the cosmos is fairly big. The galaxy is massive. Who knows?
Almost infinite. Sure.
Infinite. Yes, exactly. So to think there are no other alien life forms out there is just ridiculous. So, I'm on the Twitter. I look at some of the stuff he posts. And to be honest with you, it fucking terrifies me. It scares the living shit out of me.
What are you talking about? Like links to things or just thoughts or what?
Okay. No. I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you for forcing me to clarify. There are links to articles.
Okay.
Scientific journals even about the validity behind aliens and alien spacecrafts, UFOs, that have been cited specifically by the United States government and recorded and are just completely unexplainable. And the whole, I mean, scenarios of how these things are like planes without wings and this and that.
Sure.
I mean, they even had President Obama discussing it. So I'm reading all this stuff. It's not like even from some blog that's written by
This was all released recently. Public, the FBI acknowledged that. They didn't acknowledge like, oh, there are aliens, but they said, yes, there's some shit that we've seen that we can't explain, basically. That's, you know, and they showed video footage of like pilots, stuff they couldn't, you know, so I'm assuming that's what you're talking about. Or
yes, there's a whole information dump.
Sure.
A giant, you know, and no one gave a fuck. No one cares. Like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. UFOs, that don't mean a goddamn thing. But then even me, like I said, I used to scroll by it or whatever, and then this one day I clicked on it, and now I'm fucking terrified because I'm thinking about all the bad scenarios that could happen here. And I wish I had lived my life more successfully to the point where I have like a cabin in the woods or a bunker.
That's successful to you?
Yes.
What's success to you, Dave?
This
I don't want to be like the Unabomber.
No, because I don't want a little shanty like that. I don't want to be fucking completely crazy sending people mail that could explode.
Well, but that's good.
You know what I mean? I want like a place where I can run and hide.
Yeah. Sure.
That's all I want. And, you know, success, like, I want a mansion. No, you don't want that. Yeah. Because the UFO, if they are, you know, with bad intentions, can just roll up on your pad and say, fuck you, Kim Kardashian, and blow your shit up.
That's right.
So I need to go, you know, dig a hole somewhere.
Yeah,
but I'd like it to be a lavish hole.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like a hole in the ground, like in The Walking Dead or something, you know, like.
Well, no. Like, you know. No. I want to go in that hole and have it be like Liberace's house.
Okay. Dude.
So, yeah.
I have something to tell you. There was a story that Vice did a few years ago. It was a story about, basically, just to narrow it down, there was a guy who manufactured LSD who had an underground bunker. It was like some old missile silo. Like it was a series of tunnels, but it was this huge thing. And he had it set up like a tripping palace. Like there were hot tubs, mirrors. There was all this shit. It's exactly what you're talking about. Like you should see if it's for sale. Cause this dude went to prison ultimately. And somebody else seemed to have the property, but I'm sure you could talk to someone, pull some strings, but maybe the point of what you're saying is that you haven't lived your life to the point where you could afford that anyway.
Right.
That
yes, exactly. Okay. So it's like what you're saying. It's with Mexico and El Chapo's house. You can buy a raffle ticket.
There you go.
And maybe win it. But I'm even at the point now where I think I'm going to crowdfund this. I'm going to get other people like me who are now terrified of the idea that aliens will, in fact, be hostile. Mm. And then I will take their money.
Okay.
I will build a giant either underground complex or just remote, you know, compound somewhere where select few can come live with me when all this shit goes down and Independence Day becomes a fucking reality.
Right. You just need some guns to defend it. You know, you got to train some guards.
Yeah, that's a sticky situation too, because you know me, I'm anti-gun. I'm not into that kind of stuff. So I don't, that honestly hasn't really crossed my mind yet. Well, it's more just like a place to go run and hide and fucking. You know, just be safe.
Well,
but now that you say it, I gotta think of something. Maybe
you've seen movies. You've seen both The Walking Dead or George Romero's the zombie apocalypse, for example, is always a backdrop to human drama. It's always like other people that are the real danger in those movies. It's like post-apocalyptic, and the ones you have to worry about aren't even the zombies. They're the other humans that are desperate and trying to live too.
True.
And in an alien apocalypse or whatever invasion, I suppose it wouldn't be any different, Dave. So,
yeah.
Plan ahead.
See, I was just thinking, like, to get around the guns, I was going to go, well, aliens, if they invaded, their technology is far superior to ours anyway. So, what good would guns really do? But then you just brought up the fact that, you know, Cousin Sal is going to want in the compound. So, I got to fucking blow his head off. to keep right. away from my harem that I will hand pick and select to repopulate the earth.
That's
when everything's over and the dust settles. So this doesn't scare you at all. This isn't like me bringing it up now affect you in any way.
If you think about it, I mean, you could go through your life scared of countless situations, potential situations, but I don't know. I feel like in my life, just to get a little more serious, like ever since I got off hard drugs, I feel like a lot lighter in myself. I worry about things a lot less. I feel like I've been through a lot of garbage, whether living on the streets or in jail, whatever it was, like where I know that's a totally science fiction sort of scenario with thinking, but really, like, you know, if I end up without a home or we end up without electricity or whatever, like,
you'll be okay.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd be okay. I don't want to go that far. I'd probably be dead within a week and I'd probably kill myself before long, but I just mean, I don't worry about those things as much from ahead of time. You know, what could be, I live more than now. You know what I'm saying, bro?
Yeah, dude, totally. You're so down with becoming a domesticated pet for an alien. Why not? Yeah, I don't know. And it's something that we'll probably never see. And it's like this weird paranoia that just came over me suddenly. But it's something I think about now. I'm like, well, just add it to the list. And like you said, you just don't focus on it. I try not to either. I mean, everybody – and that's the whole point of the rat race, right? We all – exist. We wake up, we go to work, we pay our bills, we do whatever. And this is all a major distraction from the entire point of life, which is to ask questions and wonder and theorize and ponder on, you know, the purpose of what we're doing here. This is the man holding us down. So
yeah, man.
What difference would it make if it was an alien? I'm already getting fucked by my fellow species.
Yeah. You know, so, just keep your head down. Find a routine. If aliens land, you just find another routine and live with that, you know? It's just, it's all a distraction. It's a
new routine. Maybe they'd be allergic to salt water, like an alien nation, and I could just have a houseboat.
Right. Or just water, like in Signs by M. Night Shyamalan.
How stupid would aliens have to be to invade a planet? Earth. Yeah, right. That's like that much water, 70% water. Yeah. Human beings are, what is our body's percentage of water? Probably 70% too, because it just seems like a convenient number. Yeah. So, but water will fuck us up. So that's what we're doing. We're coming after you, water people.
I know.
Water world. Yeah.
Those are not well thought out thoughts. Yeah.
No, definitely not. But hey, if anybody out there is interested in joining me, out in the middle of nowhere or potentially underground to hide and, make love, and do, you know, weird shit. You can always, contact us, the Selling Out Show, sellingoutshow@gmail.com on your socials like Twitter and Instagram at Selling Out Show or on Facebook at Selling Out Show 1 because we are the fucking best. Don't you forget it.
Come get.
Oh my gosh.
Bunkery with us.
Come get me a bunkery. Yeah.
Bunker down.
You know, I mentioned the previous episode how I started making soap.
Right.
My Instagram for my soap is blowing up, baby.
Nice, dude.
It's getting up there, which I think is funny because no one really, to be perfectly honest, gives two fucks about a podcast's Instagram. And I get it. You know, whatever. Everybody's got a fucking podcast. Right. But still, like, we talk about stuff that affects humans, right?
Yeah, I mean, just people. We're dealing with the same problems our... The potential listening public would deal with, you know.
Yeah. So. And they're like, yeah, whatever. Okay, you're a podcast. But then I just start showing off pictures of soap at Schultz Soap, S-C-H-U-L-T-Z, to spell the name, because I want more of you to follow me. People like it. They're like, hey, I can wash my nuts with that.
Right. Can't do that with a podcast.
No, you can't wash your nuts with a podcast. This is sad, but true. You know, earlier I just mentioned you could become a great domesticated pet for an alien.
That's
like,
right.
Like Porno for Pyros sang about way back in 1993, if anybody remembers. Pets. We'd make great pets. But you are a pet lover. We have discussed this many times before at great lengths. Yet, That being said, you haven't encountered a new problem with some of your furry friends.
Some would call it a problem. Some would call it a solution, Dave. I don't know. I have these two rabbits. Like, I've got a million pets I've mentioned before. We have horses,
right,
a dog, cats, all kinds of shit. And we have these two bunnies that honestly sit there in cages and, like, you know, they don't interact because they're in separate cages. But recently I've been like, let's let these guys hang out. Their cages seem kind of like boring. And we have this pen that we can put on the grass. It's just like a fence that you can connect to itself in a ring. So they're both in there, but I would put a partition wall of like a fencing, almost like a chicken wire-ish fencing, a little thicker than that, but between them, because they've never lived together. They've been separate cages. So I figured let's put them, you know, put a little separation in between them so they
Can
sniff each other. But
yeah,
it, you know, before they just dive into life together. But anyway, that little partition in the middle is a little lower than the surrounding ring. Like, it's a shorter wall between them, if you will. And, you know, I mean, they've been out there a couple days. You know, I'll put them back in their cage at night so foxes don't get them or whatever. But I put them out there during the day. And they've been out a few times and it's never been a problem. But today, I go inside after putting them out and I look back a few minutes later and one of the rabbits has somehow gotten over that little partition and is banging away at the other brother like a rabbit having sex, you know, like you'd imagine. It's fucking bunnies. That's what they do. But I was just like, you know, I immediately run out because my initial instinct is these dudes are actually brothers. So this is kind of fucked up in all kinds of levels, you know. I have no problem with gay bunnies. They're both males. But, you know, brothers is, you know, as a taboo, I'm not willing to just like turn the other way right. You know, I had some questions. So I ran over and I like grabbed one of them off the other one and put him back on his side. I'm like, oh, maybe, you know, I reinforced the wall a little bit so it wouldn't tip over as easily when he put weight on it. And I go inside. I make sure they're fine for a while. Nothing's happening. I go inside. The same thing happens. So, you know, long story short, I could not keep these bunnies from fucking. And, you know, love will find a way, as they say.
Yes. Apparently, that's the case.
So, you know, I figured, like, if one of them is always going to jump into the other one's side anyway, and they're both on that side, which is half the size of the thing, I might as well just take the fucking wall out. So they're going to be together anyway. Now they'll have more room, just like, you know. So
for their incestuous love fest. You just gave him more room to romp?
Well, I wanted to make sure I was safe first. I'm like, not that I was safe, that the bunnies were safe. So I felt fairly secure, you know, in this whole scenario. But I look up, is it, you know, will bunnies kill each other? Will two male rabbits murder each other if you leave them alone? And it was saying, you know, watch them, put them together, and they will fuck. They will bang and like establish dominance. And it's really disturbing to watch, but it's actually a positive thing because it's just a thing they have to do. And, you know, he's looking at me. He's like, sorry, man, I just got to do this. I know it's disturbing, but
don't look me in the eyes. Something I got to do.
The dude's an albino. He's red eyes and he's staring right at me while he's fucking his brother. It's just really creepy. Oh,
God. Yeah.
But I look it up and it's like, you know, they're supposed to do that more or less. They, as long as they're not like clawing at each other and, you know, bloodying each other up and they, you know, they will stop eventually. And dude, you know what the article said? It said a lot of times they'll reverse mount each other, which basically means fucking each other in the face. Like they'll climb on. They said, you know, even that's fairly normal. It's just a dominant behavior, but the only danger is if the rabbit like chews off the genitals of the other one. And I'm like,
wow,
Jesus, that, you know, and which did not happen, you know, spoiler alert, this all ended pretty blood free. Just, you know, two bunnies laying around smoking butts, fucking post-coital bliss.
This is good to know when you do get enslaved by a alien race that you can just go face fuck somebody and be like, hey, it's cool. I'm just establishing my dominance.
That's right. Turn the other way. Look away.
Don't look me in the eye.
Yeah, but as you said in the beginning, it's an issue I had not really dealt with before. Mm. Like, I mentioned on another episode how I had hamsters as a kid, and one of them, like, we left them alone, and they made it. Yeah, it was a male and a female.
Destroyed the other one, yes.
Yeah, one of them.
Eviscerated.
Chewed the head off the other one, and then choked on the bone, so they both died. Like, that's what was in my mind about this. And the article is just like, no, bunnies is gonna fuck. You know what I'm saying? That's what the article said, the abridged version. So, bunnies is gonna fuck.
You should
novelize
this. You should put this into written form and kind of make softcore bunny porn for all the other weird pet lovers like yourself out there. Why would you even own animals? I don't get it. Like, I've said this so many times because I can't get into the whole, into your mind to understand the love of animals. But like, when animals do fucking crazy shit like this, it's enough to make you go, well, that's it. I'm done. No, incestuous, homosexual rabbits. I think that's enough. I think I'm good. Maybe I'll, stick to goldfish. I don't know, man.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm in too deep, Dave. It's like, I already have the two bunnies. What am I going to do? It's like, just smash their heads because they're fucking like, or give them away.
Let them go.
I'm not cruel.
Let them go. Let them go free in the woods and they can go fucking jump and face fuck and hump whatever the hell they want. And it's not your responsibility anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the way
nature. Not on my watch.
Yeah. That's the way nature intended. I mean, whatever. Just let them go.
Yeah.
You know what they say, if you love something and you set it free, if it comes back to you, it's meant to be. So there you go. You know, because what's the benefit? You have these things.
I get to see this star-crossed lovers. It's like it's a Romeo and Romeo story, but they're both Montagues. They're both, brothers. It's fucking...
This is the point of the program where I like to thank our partners. Yes, indeedy, Lemon Squeezy. These are great products and companies, and you should be checking them out. Now, we make it even easier because we got some coupon codes. That's right. Hashtag deals. Deals. It's like stealing, Nate. It really is. It's like running out of the store with free shit.
Wow. Call the cops.
Call the popo. First up, we have alpinehemp.com. The CBD revolution has arrived. Now, you could be suffering from a wide range of ailments or maybe need some better sleep or just some better techniques to relax. Well, guess what? CBD is there to help. And Alpine Hemp has great prices on these products. So don't wait. Visit alpinehemp.com. We also have northlandvapor.com. Vape juice, baby. I love to vape. I am a former smoker. And I say former because vaping changed my life. It made me feel better, healthier, and Northland Vapor helped me get there. All of their e-liquids are Diketone and artificial sweetener free. You may be asking yourself, Dave, why the hell is that important? Because guess what? Big Tobacco ain't telling you what's in their products, but Northland, they care. Now, both of these sites, you can visit them and use coupon code SELLINGOUT19 to save 19% off your entire order. Hence what I was saying earlier about running out of the store with that big old discount. Now, last but not least, we have Spunk Lube. Oh, Nate, the Spunk Lube. Mm. We talk about it every episode, but what else is there to say?
Really? You can't go for the ride if you can't get inside.
Yes.
I think we came up with a new catchphrase for them, man.
There you go. Put that on a t-shirt, baby.
All right.
Put that on a shirt. They should do that immediately and send you a royalty check. But yeah, Spunk Lube, it's used by professionals in the adult film industry. And now you can have it delivered discreetly to your home. Check them out at spunklube.com today, and you can thank me later. Now, what do you say we hop into some Nate's Notes?
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Notes.
I was listening back to some of my previous comments on an earlier episode regarding mumble rap and a lot of the current hip-hop artists, and something occurred to me. Firstly, I noticed that I sounded crotchety and old, complaining about the music young people listen to. Sure, I am old. The popular music being bought and listened to by young people isn't for me. Just as drum and bass, techno, or death metal in the 90s wasn't for my parents' generation. Evolution is just a fact. And just as in biology we see gradual changes from generation to generation, evolution occurs in other ways too. In thoughts and attitudes. In what becomes socially acceptable. As well as taste in art and entertainment. The world is always moving forward. Us old folks can shake our heads at what the youngsters are getting up to if we want. But let's just remember that our folks and their folks probably shook their heads and or fists at a lot of our trends and artistic contributions. I think a lot of my frustration with modern hip hop came from the fact that I had some cognitive dissonance over a rapper like Tekashi 6ix9ine or Cardi B being technically in the same category as Mos Def or Aesop Rock. It just seemed silly to even compare their technical skills. Now, leave alone the fact that there are still a ton of modern popular rappers with those technical skills, be it Kendrick Lamar or J. Cole. That's not the point. I'm trying to say that skill isn't relegated to just how technically proficient and virtuosic one is at their chosen craft. It depends on the context, the style of music you're even trying to make. There are a ton of Eddie Van Halen or Dave Mustaine fans who would poo-poo the more simplistic guitar work of Johnny Ramone or even Kurt Cobain. But you know what? Johnny Ramone and Kurt Cobain were really fucking good at writing catchy riffs and putting together simple but solid tunes. Guitar wankery is just a different skill than the more punk rock style of the Ramones or Nirvana, for example. And there's an audience for both. The lyrics to Knowledge of Self by Black Star can't be compared to a song like WAP by Cardi B. The intent is different. The style is different. The whole subgenre of rap is different, which leads me into my next point. Now, Dave and I have both said a lot about how annoying subgenres can be. I listen to a lot of metal, and the list of metal subgenres could take up the rest of this segment if I were to try to list them all. You have the basics like thrash, death metal, black metal, power metal, the new wave of British heavy metal, goth metal, industrial metal, and on and on. That would be overwhelming enough. But then there are bands that take elements of multiple subgenres and mix them. So you get blackened death metal, which is naturally death metal with black metal elements. You get the idea. It even gets more confusing. You get symphonic, blackened, technical, brutal death metal. And yes, those are all real mix and matchable subgenres. I'm sure there are a ton of symphonic, blackened, technical, brutal death metal acts scattered across the interwebs right now. So what am I getting at? Well, as ridiculous as all that sounds, it does serve a purpose other than making nerdy metalheads argue over how to label their favorite band. These titles can actually be really helpful for both the artist trying to sell themselves to an audience who's never heard them before, as well as to that audience looking for a specific sound. It's just for ease of categorization. And the more specific you can narrow down the search for music, the more efficient the whole thing becomes. Just don't get discouraged by the dorks calling you a poser because you called Suffocation a death metal band instead of a brutal death metal band with technical elements or whatever. To bring it back to hip-hop, sometimes we forget that hip-hop has subgenres too. And just as I am not a fan of power metal, but I love me some technical death metal, there are ways to narrow down your search for hip-hop. You may not be into trap music with its stark robotic beats or the simplistic lyric patterns, but you may really get into a backpack rapper like Common or Talib Kweli with their deeper subject matter and jazzier production. There are lots of subgenres in hip-hop, as there are in jazz, And just like you can retrace the development of bebop or big band jazz throughout the years, you can see how gangster rap like N.W.A. gradually morphed into Dre and Snoop's G-Funk and ultimately to trap music from T.I. or Gucci Mane, all the while refining its sound and representing the culture from which it springs. Socially conscious rappers from the 80s like KRS-One and Chuck D ultimately birthed artists like Erykah Badu and then Kendrick Lamar. Now, I'm just talking popular artists here. The underground is and always has been a fertile place for talent, and one can completely ignore the mainstream should they choose. There are countless artists working there as there are in the underground of any style of music. So, if I were to try to put a cap on this whole mess of an essay, in which I rambled about dorky subgenres and mostly sounded like an out-of-touch old dude, I guess it would be this. Popular music is an ever-evolving species. It changes over time, with the tastes and sensibilities of the public as we live and die. Those tastes aren't always going to make sense to us as we age out of that targeted demographic. But there's still plenty out there for us, even if we can't stand what's in the charts. Shit, I don't think I ever cared about what was popular as a kid, so why would I pay attention now? Much of what's popular just is not meant for me. And finally, there's a skill set involved in writing a stupid, catchy pop song. It's just different than writing a really deep, thoughtful piece of art. And some artists can manage to do both at once. The world is old, and so am I. There have always been shallow, catchy pop acts. Why would it be any different now? I'm going to go listen to some Wu-Tang and pretend it's still 1996.
Well, you know, Billy Joel had something to say about this with his song, It's Still Rock and Roll to Me. Mm. And that was in reference to the whole punk movement, right? Because we had to say, oh, it's angsty. It's young people. It's called punk. And he's like, no, motherfucker, it's still rock and roll.
Right. Everyone's talking about the new wave of rock and roll to me. I don't know the lyrics.
But yeah, I don't know the lyrics either. Yeah. I just
but felt the, like the point cool is if I brought is, it up. Is checked.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Thank you. But the and I'm going to use a word that I like to have come out of my face. Mm. Which is going to make me seem intelligent, especially since earlier in the program, I couldn't say the word Confederate. I was like, oh, it's a Southern flag. And you quickly fixed that. But
we knew what amalgam, you were talking about, Dave.
Amalgam, which for many years I called amalgam to show you how smart I really are. Am, but how smart I really are. See, I'm on a fucking...
I mean, you're falling apart, Dave.
Yes, I need help. Someone help me. I'm still worried about being anally probed. Which, funny enough, I didn't bring up during that whole alien segment one bit. So here I am now.
That was one big setup for an anal joke.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't use it. So until you brought up the bunnies, and we didn't even use it then. So
Jesus, man.
Wow, we suck at this. But the reason why I bring up the word amalgam is because, you know, you blend. You take different elements of everything. You put it together. And you have music. It doesn't matter what style or type it is. And you had mentioned that we've talked about this before because I don't like all these labels. Right. But as you just mentioned, it does make it easier for someone to find maybe what they're looking for and what they like.
Sure. Yeah, man. It's just the thing is that people get nerdy about it. Like anything else, you go online and you find a bunch of people that just want to argue about something. So, yeah, it's like, well, that's they're not a brutal death metal band. They're a technical this. Yeah, it's like. There's a lot of that nonsense. And again, that's young people. And here I am, an old guy. Those discussions aren't for me. Like, I'll listen to what I want to listen to, but let the young kids argue and listen to what they want to listen to. I've earned the right to sit back and just go, let me pop in my old Walkman cassette type.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. I like the fact you're doing voices now. You're in the voice business.
Add it to my repertoire.
I will add it to that repertoire, as a matter of fact. But, you know, these kind of discussions happened when we were young. It was just between five people in a basement.
Yeah. It wasn't. Now you can argue with people in the Philippines. You
know? Yeah. Well, that's the whole point of the internet, right? Talking is to argue Like, this movie sucks. That movie's great. This song sucks. You know, whatever. You know, everything is about dissenting opinions and negativity. And then you have, like, the certain people out there who are like, yeah, you got to be positive all the time.
Yeah.
Man. And they probably have way more followers and likes and people smashing those ding-dong button cling-clangies. You say, I like this person. But, you know, to kind of bring it back around to social media, I stay quiet on things I see very often. And for those who don't know, my wife is Mexican. So I I've spent a considerable amount of time in Mexico. So I'm fairly familiar with some of the cultural aspects of their music. And I saw a debate raging where someone was comparing Latino or Latinx country, how it's not Tejano and it's not Norteño music, and it's not this and that, and like they've really got to put it in a pigeonhole.
Yeah.
What they're producing, and I'm like, whoa! Like, to me, that was like too much. Like,
sure.
You want to argue over that and whatever, but I mean,
yeah.
Back to your piece, it's applicable with everything, especially with the hip hop you mentioned.
Yeah, man.
I have never listened to a Cardi B song. I couldn't tell you one song she sang, but if I said, oh yeah, that's hip hop to a hip hop fan, they'd probably be like, well, what the fuck, man? Like, you don't know anything about this. So you just don't generalize and call it this. And the same thing with the Latino music or country or whatever. If I try to like, just, you know, put it in one package because it's easier for me to talk about that way or explain that way, I'm alienating and, you know, excluding and infuriating. A whole nother base of folks.
It's weird. I know, man. But like you said, it's there's always something to argue about, and the internet is fertile ground for that sort of shit, man.
Is that where you're seeing this stuff, like about the death metal? Because you brought that up like twice. About
yeah,
the
dude,
technical. That's on the book.
Well, technical death metal is a style. It's more like, just to narrow it down, there are like these subgenres do make sense. There is a reason they are different. Like a black metal song is way different than a technical death metal song. And death metal, you add technical to it, it's just basically, death metal sounds like Morbid Angel in the 90s. It's very like muddy and like growly vocals and, you know, intricate drums and guitars and stuff, but it's kind of sounds like a monster playing music. You know, it's fucking dark shit. Technical death metal is when you get like an Yngwie Malmsteen style guitarist, like insane guitar playing and not just solos, like the song structures, like the verses are more complex to play than like an Eddie Van Halen solo. You know what I'm saying? Like it's insane shit. And that's why I love it. It's mind blowing to listen to. It's so virtuosic. But at the same time, I'll listen to a black metal band, which is some of them can barely play guitar and it's just about atmosphere and a cool sort of riff. And it's like the punk of metal, which I think I've done a segment about, but it's, basically, they're two things. It's both metal, but one of them, you know, the guy that plays black metal could never probably play a technical death metal.
Proficiency.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, proficiency. But again, it's two different styles. And that's what I mean. Like Cardi B, from what I've heard, I haven't explored her catalog so much, but as an ignorant, you know, few time listener, I would say that her lyrics aren't quite as deep as somebody that, like Mos Def or Aesop Rock, as I mentioned, or MF Doom. Like there's some, she has skills. She's able to rhythmically put stuff together and she has a story to tell. She has a very complex backstory. Dispossess her of that. Like she.
Dismiss
that. Thank you. She's, you know, got plenty to talk about. She's had an interesting life from what I understand. And she puts it into art, which is a lot better than a lot of people do. Like, that's what I always say about people that complain about modern hip hop. It's like, at least people are making art, you know, they're doing stuff and they're putting forth the effort to create something in a studio. You know how fun that is, recording like on a 4-track and putting down vocals and, you know, doing stuff like that's cool to do. So it's like people are creating. And I think that's always a good thing, even if I don't always like the finished product, you know.
We'll reply with that on the next time you see a tweet or a post where someone's like, hey, man, you get the fucking genre wrong. You're like, yo, motherfucker, this is all art. We're all creating. Don't you remember? Right. Come on now. simmer down now. Come on. You know, yeah, that could be your old person stance rather than just grumble, grumble, grumble.
Can't we all just get along? I'll pull the Rodney King.
Oh, man. Yeah. We have certainly dated ourselves this time around. I was talking about the movie Alien Nation.
Yeah. I'm talking about Chuck Rodney D.
King. Chuck. Yeah. Holy macaroni.
Yeah.
Here we go. Someone fit us with some walkers with tennis balls on the bottom.
Right, huh?
We have earned it. I'm telling you. And then I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse that I have never heard a Cardi B song. And recently I realized I have never watched, to my recollection, a Fast and Furious movie because there's been all these memes about Vin Diesel and the new movie that's been out about some about like, yeah, you don't need this if you got family. And I'm like, I don't understand that reference. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But I've never seen one of these movies. I got no need for it.
You're not missing anything, man. You know, again, it's for young people that like, that have a raging hard on and want to drive fast cars.
Well, it can't be for that young people because the franchise has been around for like a decade. My kid was watching The Nightmare Before Christmas the other day and I commented to somebody, yeah, I'm not into it because, you know, I was too old for this when it came out. Hmm. And then I stopped and I thought about it. I'm like, wait, the people who made this were older than me.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Burton and Danny Elfman and the people involved. And for me to say it was like a generational thing is weird because it was made by a generation before mine.
Right.
It's just a matter of taste. It was a matter of age. But
sure. Yeah, that's another interesting thing. It's like a lot of the artists, yes, they're younger, but they're still making it for people younger than them usually. So it's like the stuff the kids are listening to is being made by almost a generation older than them, or at least half a generation, you know, sometimes, I guess. I don't know. I guess there's a broad spectrum, but the point is we're fucking old and there are young people and there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, we make them. That's what we do. Yeah. We are just young people making factories.
Yeah, man.
That is actually the point of our existence. You know, I'd mentioned like we got to go to work, we got to pay bills, we got to make kids. Right. That's all part of it too, this whole look at this. Look at this. Don't look at that. Look at this. Get distracted. Come on now. I'm always, keep your nose down. I'm always blown away too by our attention spans being so short. Yeah. We forget things and the red herrings thrown our way to keep us distracted and from the real topics that need to be discussed and everything
else. Don't talk too much like that though, because you'll sound like a flat earther or a cure to bring it back, you know.
We're bringing it back around. That's what we do. Time is a flat circle, man. That's what we do. You
and
know,
the earth is just a flat circle too.
It is. But I mean, I often say, like, what happened to the kids in cages at the border? We don't discuss this anymore. Are they still there? Is fucking Ted Cruz, that piece of shit, still angry about Colin Kaepernick? Like. All these
There's
things
still plenty
again.
Of kids at the border, man.
Yeah, but I mean, people are fucking rage tweeting and angry about all this stuff that, you know, people should be angry about the water in Flint, Michigan and everything else. And is it fixed? I don't know.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. I hope so.
Yeah.
But I don't know. No one's pissed off about it anymore. So we ain't hearing about it no more.
Yeah, man.
You know?
I don't know. Sit back, drink a lemonade like an old man, you know.
I got a coffee here.
There you go. That works.
I drink roughly 64 ounces of coffee a day.
Ooh.
So I don't know if that's going to be one of those things where I live to be 110. Mm. And everybody goes, what's the secret to your longevity in life? And I say, 64 ounces of coffee a day. Wow. Or if I die in like a week. And they say, well, what killed him? Oh, 64 ounces of coffee a day.
I'll tell you what, if you don't.
I don't know.
If you don't get that 64 ounces of coffee a day, I bet you have a headache. Like if you try to go a day without that, because I used to do the same thing and I would get fucking headaches. It was like an addiction, but like you don't realize it's happening. You're just drinking it because you enjoy it. And then if you tried to go a whole day without it, I bet you'd have a headache. I still drink coffee. Don't get me wrong, but I just know I used to drink like that much every day and I used to get headaches without it. So
if I don't drink it, I walk around with a massive erection. So I'm sparing the world. My big old boner. Yeah. Consult a doctor before you quit drinking coffee. No, I need it. I don't know. I just like it. Tastes good.
It's good. Yeah.
It's better than the alternative. I mean, I was an alcoholic for how many years? So when I'm in the need of having a good time, I just pour myself a cup of Joe.
Yeah,
that's all you need to know. You know
that's
what I mean?
Yeah. It is better.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep, it sure is. I like how we continuously just let conversations fall apart.
Yeah.
And then but the thing is, we tie things together. We let things just dissipate. It doesn't matter. Right. We're so fucking all over the place. You know, there's so many podcasts and radio shows out there that use scripts. Yeah. We are obviously not one of them.
Completely free form.
Completely. Yes. We just wing it for your entertainment pleasure. Well, hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully the people out there are liking it.
That's true, man. We hope so. But otherwise, we'd still be just talking in like a empty void, you know, because that's...
Yeah.
We like to talk, so...
Yep. Or the way we used to do it, conversing via messenger pigeon.
Right. Right.
So, yes. Yeah.
Smoke
but unless you have anything else you want to discuss today, I think we should let these fine furry folk go about their day and do whatever the hell they plan on doing, whether it is drinking a massive amount of coffee or running from aliens or
banging a bunny.
Stopping. Yeah, well, I was going to say separate the bunnies.
Okay.
But if you want to bang a bunny, I mean, you don't probably want to seek help. You don't. Well, I was going to say seek help. So you should tell somebody about it. Because that's how, like, the Jeffrey Dahmers in the world probably get started and stuff, so.
Yeah. Sounds like there's a lot of shame involved in that lifestyle. I don't know.
I would imagine that's where furries come from. That's what happens with them, you know?
What a way to wrap things up, Dave.
The fence is a little too short. They got to jump over to the other side. Oh, yeah. let's wrap it up like that. But I do want to thank everybody out there for taking the time to listen to our humble little program. Virtual hugs for all of you. I am Dave. That is Nate. And this has been The Selling Out Show.
Peace.